it, that can take the Bible and open our heart with it like a skilled surgeon who can examine through the Word of God our life and recommend to us the balm of Gilead. So is our preacher this morning.
Yes, sir.
So he has proven by his life. So he has proven by his preaching. It would be best for us to remember submission. Submission is a true definition of love.
Thank God.
If we love, we submit.
Yes.
If we love preaching, we'll submit to it.
Yes.
And say amen to it. If we love a preacher, we'll help him preach.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Brother Sad McDonald, great young man, great future.
Right.
It's yet to be seen what God will do with him.
Right.
As a lot of us have already been heard. Our voices are stealing, but thank God there's voices coming on. And preaching is the voice of God for today.
My God. My God.
The voice of God to us for today. If you will, lift your hands as Brother Sad comes, and let's pray for him and ourselves that the Lord will help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Brother McDonald that you will anoint him, bless him, and help him. Give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. Let the Word of God find lodging and abiding in us. For if your Word abides in us, if it lives, dwells there, then, Lord, it brings us into a relationship where we become partners with you. So help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sutherland. So glad to be in the house of God again today with all of you. My, we appreciate all the good things that have been said.
Yes, sir.
In the book of Isaiah in chapter 62. The book of Zechariah in chapter 9. Malachi chapter 3. We appreciate this wonderful meeting. Your presence here. The presence of God. Appreciate all that he's done for us. Many thanks to all those that have prepared meals and been so kind and such hospitality you've extended toward us. Again, thanks to the Ray family for the wonderful accommodations that they have provided for us, and we have certainly enjoyed our stay. Thank you so much for the offering. Appreciate Brother Collins and Sister Collins allowing us to come again for a meeting here, and we certainly enjoyed our stay here last time, and we appreciate all of you. And I appreciate all these good men of God, don't you?
Amen.
Preacher brethren, man, your presence humbles me today, and I feel at least among you all, and we desire your prayers and your help today. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God.
Yeah.
Zechariah in chapter 9, 1 verse 16 of Zechariah 9. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. In the book of Malachi in chapter 3, very familiar scripture, in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach for just a few minutes simply on when I make up my jewels. Years ago, they used to sing this old song in Booster Band while reading through the Bible. Some wondrous sights I see. Peter, James, and John fishing by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, when he called them, sure their work was crude enough, but they were precious diamonds he gathered from the rough. Aren't you glad that he loved us enough and he thought enough of us? Amen. To pick us up and call us his jewels. Amen. Grace pardoned, grief polished, glory preserved, and he calls us his jewels. Amen. Brother Collins somewhat intrigued me when he was talking about the jewels there in the Tower of London. The crown of Ivan boasts some 841 precious stones. The crown of Peter some 887 rare jewels. The crown of England, in the crown alone, 1,700 jewels. The crown of Russia, 2,500 precious jewels. The crown of France boasts the most, 5,852 rare jewels found in the stone of Christ. But of the crown of Christ, what can I say? John said 10,000 times 10,000. Amen. And then he just shrugs and says, well, I don't know. Just a number which no man can number. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that he called us? Amen. Chose us to be one of his own, and he calls us his jewels. Amen. Just a short homily here for just a few minutes. Amen. And we'll try to let you go to dinner. But when I make up my jewels, amen. First, the finding of those jewels. Amen. Those jewels are found in undesirable circumstances. Amen. One great writer, amen, telling about his early life and the salvation of his family and how God delivered his family. He called it the journey out of Jugtown. Amen. Aren't you glad you made that journey out of Jugtown? Amen. My dad and mom were reared in Sullivan's Hollow, Mississippi, down in Smith County. And dad was raised in a bootlegger's home. And amen. When daddy got saved, mom and dad, amen, had already been to a divorce lawyer. And it seemed like, amen, that our home would be scattered to the winds. And then somebody preached the glorious gospel to Russell and Karen McDonald, and we made our journey out of Jugtown. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord come by and gloriously saved and delivered the finding of those jewels. Amen. Those jewels are found in undesirable circumstances. Amen. Down among the dirt, the defilement and the degradation. Amen. But someone goes out looking for the jewels. Amen. I was raised on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Oftentimes we would go down to the bayou. Amen. Pull off our tennis shoes and socks. Roll up our pants to the knees. And wade out in them bayous. Amen. And feel around in that goo and that muck and mire. Amen. For an oyster. Amen. Because some, amen, had found a few pearls there. Amen. Oh, amen. Just to find one was worth all of the expense. It was worth all the dirt, all the mire. Why? We were searching for a jewel. Hallelujah. Amen. You've read, no doubt, of those gold mines and those jewel mines in Africa and other places. Amen. Where they descend, amen, down in that clammy coldness and those dismal depths and that dreary darkness. Why do they go to such dire lengths? They are looking for a jewel. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Dale Ward attends Brother Randy Webb's church, and amen, about 3 years ago, he took me into a coal mine. I've not quite yet forgiven him for that. Amen. 42 inches high. When I got there, Brother Jimmy, I knew I was in trouble. They put me on my back. Amen. We rode for 45 minutes in one of them buggies. Brother Mike Roberts was behind me. He would just laugh and giggle.
going. Amen. The fellow running that car I was in, he said, something wrong with this man. He ain't said a word since we got in here. I was scared slap out of my mind. Amen. Oh, it was dark. It was darker than it had ever been. It was wet. Amen. Water filled the bottom of that mine. We'd roll through that water. I'd raise up, not get wet. Mike Robert couldn't raise up. He got soaked. Amen. Well, amen. It was awful. Amen. We went 6,500 feet to the face of that mine and watched that miner cut out that coal. Why did they do it? Amen. It was worth it because, amen, that stuff is money to them. Well, I want to tell you about a Savior. Amen. Named Jesus Christ. Amen. That descended down from the palatial palaces of heaven. Amen. From the majestic mansion of the glory world. Infinite God became an infant child. Deity robed himself in dust. Amen. The Holy Ghost moved upon a virgin and she conceived. Went down in that strange unknown world of motherhood and came back with eternity in her arms. Why did he do it? Amen. He was a searching out his girls. He was a searching out his girls. He was a searching out his girls.
Well, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
And I'm sure glad he found me. Amen. Mel Trotter, Sam Hadley, other men who were wicked, vile sinners. Amen. He saved. Amen. Much like the psalmist that said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the deep, miry clay. Amen. I heard Carl Faith preach one time. Preached the homecoming for us when we were pastors. Amen. You may have preached it. You didn't preach as good as he did. He preached on from the mire to the choir. Amen. From that hellhole to a heavenly road. Amen. And from awful to hallelujah. Amen. Something about when the Savior reaches down, when he condemns sins. Amen. To save a soul and seek out a joy. Why did he do it? That he might save you. Amen. Very God became very man. Amen. On my science, strong to the optic nerve of the human eye. Omnipotence. Amen. Sheathed in a human arm. Amen. On my presence, confined to the limitations of the human body. Why did he do it? He came to search out his joys. Amen. The breach of paradise became the pauper of Palestine. Why did he do it? He came to search out and his joys. The saving and his joys. I'm glad he found me. I'm glad he found me. Amen. For he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's calling you and I and all of us to go out and find his jewels. For he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Something about following Christ. We catch men. And how many of us profess to be followers of Christ, yet we catch no men and we have no jewels to give, amen, unto him. How about it now? Christ said, follow me. I'll show you how to catch men. Have you ever caught a man? Amen. Walter Wilson talks about, amen, in his wonderful stories, in those little Moody paperbacks. He said, I missed a train, but I caught a soul. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing more wonderful the world over, amen, than finding a jewel and catching men for Christ. 95% of all professing church members have never won a soul to Jesus Christ. 85% of all church growth is attributed from disgruntled members changing their letter from one church to another. But I'm preaching to us, we need to be willing to go out and find this jewel. Come on now. Amen. You, sir, may be a Gladstone for intellect. Amen. A Spurgeon.
for eloquence, a Rockefeller for wealth, a Stanley for exploration, a Newton, amen, for mathematics, a Bacon for philosophy, a Milton for poetry, Michelangelo for art, a Beethoven for harmony, amen, but you'll stand before God Almighty, a pitiful pauper, if you've never won a soul, and if you've never found one of his jewels. How about it today, my preacher brethren? How about it, church? Let us leave this house today a searching for our joy. Let us leave this building today a searching for our joy. Amen. I heard a man say one time, he boarded an airline, sat down in his seat. They were almost within just a few short minutes of takeoff. Just when they were fixing to close the door, a man boarded the plane, hair long, matted, his clothes dirty and filthy. He said the man was so beraggled, torn and tattered, it was a wonder that he had enough money to even buy an airline ticket. And he said, I said to myself, I hope that thing don't come sit down by me. He said he sat down a few seats ahead of me. He said, but a few minutes later, when we were airborne, the Lord fell on me with conviction and said, you go speak to that man and tell him about his soul. What was the Lord doing? He was searching out one of his jewels. Come on now. Amen. We don't want to touch them. We don't want to contaminate ourselves with them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. Amen. Because their presence, it disgusts us. Amen. But have you forgot where you were? Amen. When God saved you. They asked old Gypsy Smith when he was 84, how was it that he still preached with fervor? Amen. And unction. He said, why? I never lost the wonder. That's our problem. We've lost the wonder. Amen. We've lost the wonder of being saved, of being one of his chosen. Amen. When the Lord called my dad to preach, amen, dad was standing at the front door of the house looking outside, and the Lord dealt with him to preach, and he said, God, I'm not worthy. And the Lord spoke to him out of John and said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See there? Amen. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Amen. He chose us. He selected us as one of his jewels. Amen. The idea of that word ordained means to be set precisely in place. The emphasis there is drawn from the words of the psalmist. Amen. When I consider the heavens, the moon, amen, and the stars, which thou hast ordained, that he set precisely in place, and he set us in place. Aren't you glad he set us in place? Aren't you glad he chose us and made us one of his jewels? Give him a praise today. Probably one of the most quoted and best loved writers among the holiness people is Frank W. Borum. Mr. Borum said that once he was trying to get back home from the city, he hurried to the depot, but he missed his train. It'd be 10:15 or so before the late train rolled in, so he sat to wait on the late train. The late train come. He and one other were the only occupants of that late train. He said, I sat there grumbling, fussing, having missed supper, getting home on the late train. And he said, I looked at that gentleman that sat up ahead of me, and I thought I may as well make the best of it. Reached in, took out a tract, walked up and gave it to the young man, told him about Jesus Christ. 20 years or so went by. Borum was old and frail, and he was up giving a lecture afterwards.
A young man rushed up, grabbed him affectionately by the hand, wrapped him up. "Oh, Mr. Borum, you don't remember me, but I've always wanted to see you again. 20 years ago, I was riding the late train, and you handed me a track. Ooh, what do you say? Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your fellow worker. Maybe it's your mom or dad that's riding the late train, and we need somebody to go out and seek his jewels. Help me while I preach. Amen." During the Second War, while the bombs were falling on London, a statue of Christ was destroyed. Some soldiers put together the statue again. However, they found no hands. Amen. Having found no hands, they hung a sign upon those handless arms that read, "This Christ has no hands. Will you be his hands?" May I preach to you today? Amen, my brethren. Amen. We must be the hands of Christ. We must be the eyes that search. We must be the heart that loves. We must be the bosom that has compassion. We must be willing to go out and search for his jewels. Woo! I said we must be willing to go out and find his jewels. Joseph Aline, it was said of him that he was infinitely and insatiably greedy for the salvation and conversion of souls. That's not our preachers today. Mr. Bunyan, he said, "I could not be satisfied unless God did grant me fruit to appear in my work." William Brannan, "I care not where or how I may live, what hardships I experience, what turmoil I go through. Only one thing matters: gain souls." Amen. Henry Ward Beecher said, "My brethren, the greatest things is not our theology. It's not the controversy ahead. The greatest thing is win souls." What about it today, church? Do we have a burden for the lost? Do we have a yearning for the sinner man? Is somebody willing to go out and search for his jewels? Is somebody willing to go out and seek the lost? Amen. Raise your hands and ask God to help us today. Hallelujah. Somebody be willing to go out and save a soul. Search a jewel. C.T. Studd. Mr. Studd was born into a wealthy home. When he became of age, he gave away all of his inheritance except for £3,000. And he intended to save that for his upcoming marriage and his wife. When he told her what he had done, she said, "Why, C.T., how can we withhold anything from God?" So Mr. Studd gave that £3,000 also away and spent his life, his years, searching for jewels. And it was C.T. Studd that said, "Some wish to live within sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." William Carey said, "My calling is to win souls. I only cobble shoes to pay the expenses." Hallelujah. What about it? When's the last time it set your soul on fire? When's the last time it burned within you to win men? To win men for Christ. Amen. All we want to convert men. Amen. To what we believe. Amen. See how many we can get on our side. Amen. And our ideas. And what we think. How about convert men? How about win men? How about save men? How about go out and find a jewel? Second of all, not only the finding of the jewel, now then, the grinding of the jewel. Not only those jewels found in an undesirable circumstance, they are in an unfit condition. And so the master lapidary must grind on them. There is no beauty. It's gritty. It's grimy. It's filthy. It's got ragged edges, cracks and crevices, covered with a rusty film and coating. It is in an unfit condition. It's not ready for display. It's not ready to be exhibited. It's not ready to show to men. So he grinds on us. Aren't you glad he was patient and worked with us? I don't know your background, but oh, I remember when Dad and Mom got saved. Dad didn't go to church, never went to church. Mom had taken us boys a few times to the Baptist church, to Sunday school. Mom and Dad had been going to the Holiness Church about 3 weeks. Mom didn't know any better. Nobody ever taught her any better. She was outside raking leaves in a pair of culottes and a sleeveless blouse. Pastor's wife of the Holiness Church drove by. Seen Mom immodest like that. And she looked at her husband and said, "Why, Kenny, I wonder if any good will ever come out of that family." But they were patient. They were kind. They were loving. And all the while the Lord was a grind. Sister Collins, you told me. You seen that jewel upon the queen's scepter. Amen. The color diamond. It's the largest diamond in the world. Amen. That diamond, amen, is of some, amen, such illustrious beauty and of such large immensity that it's one of the most revered and hallowed and honored precious stones of the world. Amen. But let me tell you something about that diamond. When that diamond was found, amen, there were cracks upon the surface of it. Amen. It was dirty and filthy and marred. And they turned it over to the master lapidary. And he put it under, first of all, pressure. Amen. That's the first thing that they do in the grinding of the jewel. Amen. He subjected that thing to some 2,000, amen, 200 pounds of steam pressure. Day after day he watched it, but the coating would not break. The crustacean would not fall away. But after 28 days of pressure, amen, the crust broke. The hardness was torn away. And there was a jail in there. Amen. Someone said, "Money makes the man, you're all." Amen. It's trouble that makes the man. It's trials that make the man. It's pressure that makes the man. Brother, I don't know why. Are these things coming upon me? Why am I facing these things? God is a grinding on you, and he wants to make you a jewel. Not only the pressure of the grinding, the parting of the grinding. Next, that diamond is taken, and it is set in the vise. The lapidary studies that diamond until with his eyes closed, he can envision every crack, every crevice about that diamond. He looks at its flaws. He looks at everything about that diamond. And he studies it till he knows it like he knows his own hand. Yeah. One of the most famous diamonds in the world is called the Yonkers Diamond. It's 726 carats. It's called the Yonkers Diamond because the lapidary was a man by the name of Mr. Yonkers. Mr. Yonkers studied that diamond for 3 weeks, 7 days, for 3 weeks. Every day he went in and studied that diamond. He turned it, he rolled it, he looked at it. He'd watch it all day long and go home.
After 21 days of studying that diamond, he set it in the vise. With a thunderous blow, amen, he cracked down upon that diamond, and it broke perfectly into 12 perfect diamonds. But the jewels were not exposed until the parting came. You see, the sculptor cannot begin to work upon the stone until it is totally and completely hewn from the mountain. Amen. And the gold cannot be molded and made until it has been wholly purged in the fire. And God cannot make us as he would until he, amen, cuts us completely away and everything else is parted and laid aside. Amen. The well-known story is told of Michelangelo, who was walking through a quarry of discarded stone. He looked at a piece of marble. It had a bad crack in it, a wicked crack. He passed it by. He stopped and looked again. He asked the workman to take it to his study. Amen. While they were carting that large stone off, Michelangelo was heard to say, "I saw an angel in there." Amen. And some months later, amen, the world found out indeed the angel was there. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, amen. When God's a grinding on us, amen, it may seem like, amen, there's no good in there. Amen. Why this trouble? Why these tests? Why these trials? Come on now. Amen. But God knows there's a jewel in there somewhere. Amen. When Michelangelo, amen, done the sculpture of David, amen, it was some 12 or 13 feet tall, so large it was and colossal. Ironically, it was called Goliath. Amen. But when they unveiled that statue, amen, all that beheld it marveled, because then they realized that Michelangelo had fashioned the likeness of the face of David like unto his own countenance. And in the statue, they beheld the face of the Master. And so it is with you and I, Christ. Must look upon us until the world can see the face of the Master. Christ must look upon our lives until he beholds the face, and the world beholds the face of the Master. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry. You're worried about roast and toast and not the Holy Ghost. The pressure of the grinding. The parting of the grinding. The polishing of the grinding. They take diamond dust and oil and apply it to the stone and press it against the wheel. The reason they do that is because those stones are referred to as what is called a diamond under stress. It receives the light, but it does not reflect the light. In order for it to receive and reflect the light, there must be an added radiance, another luster, polished yet a little bit more finely, so that not only receives the light, amen, but it sends out the light. I'm afraid some of us, we're a diamond under stress. We have a sense of secret pride until we like the light to shine on us. We like to be heard. We like to be noticed. We like to be seen. And we're a diamond under stress because we receive the light, but we give no light. And then just before that diamond goes to the display case, they have a special stone. It itself is a diamond. And they set that diamond against the face of that other diamond, and they polish it. Two jewels. Two diamonds. One against the other. To give it that last bit of luster, that needed radiance, so that it can shine as it should. Does there anybody rub you the wrong way?
Yes.
Is there anybody that just gets your goat?
Yes, yes.
Come on now. Is there anybody that just gets under your skin? Maybe the Lord's trying to make a jewel out of you.
Yes.
Come on here now. We don't like it when people get up next to us. Help me now. You worried about dinner, but I ain't studying dinner. Amen. It bothers us when people get up against us. Did you hear the way he said that? Did you see the look on her face? Come on here now. It might not have been the way they said it as much as the way you took it. Come on here now. Amen. Oh, it bothers us when somebody grinds on us. Come on now. And we fail to realize the Lord's trying to make a diamond out of us. I heard a man one time tell that he had a business, and he was a holiness preacher, and I know of the man, got confidence in him, and he had this business there, and he employed a fellow preacher brother to work with him. And he said, but after a while, my preacher friend and I, we had a disagreement. And he said, since I was the boss, I fired him. He said, we went our separate ways. I continued to preach. I just kept right on going. Forgot about my friend. 2 long years went by. He said, I was preaching a meeting and I stepped down off the pulpit. Someone handed me a brown paper bag. He said, I opened the bag and noticed within was a book. He said, immediately I recognized that was my book, whom I had loaned my friend of 2 years before. And he said, I thought, oh, well, glad to get my book back. And then he noticed there was a card inside the book. He said, I opened the card. He said, tears ran out my eyes and down my face. He said, it was a birthday card. Everybody else had forgotten, but that day was my birthday. And my friend had sent the book and a card. And he said, when I opened the card, a poem fell out. The name of it was, Let's Be Friends. You know, there may be somebody you need to send a card and say, Let's be friends. There may be somebody, amen, that we need to go to. Amen, and hand them a little love offering. Let them know we love them. Come up here now. Oh. It's amazing how we can shout on some things and set so quiet on other things. Is there someone that you intentionally shun? Is there someone that you just don't want to be around? Amen. Their very presence just annoys you. It's that person you need to get up against. Come on now.
All right.
It's that person you need to get close to until God makes you patient. Come on now. Until God makes you patient. Amen. I think it was Mr. Fairborn, amen, that said Christ was often interrupted, but he was never annoyed. Oh, God, help us, Lord. You know, it seems like the slightest things, it just gets on our nerves. Makes us aggravated, if you will. Reminds me of what one brother said, with phone kept raying. Amen. And someone said, get it and answer it. He said, no, if I get it, I'm going to tear it off the wall. Amen. That's the way we are sometimes. Amen. Come on. Am I by myself? Amen. Things somehow bother us. Oh, but if I just let the Lord grind on me for a while, amen, and polish off the rough
cross edges until I'm not curt and short. Help me now. Come on here now. Amen. To the place I'm willing to be graceful. I'm willing to be Christ-like. Amen. Intruded upon, interrupted, but never disturbed or annoyed. Help me to be that way. Grind on me, God, and make me a jail for you, O Lord.
Last of all, the finding of those jewels, the grinding of those jewels, and dinner's getting closer all the time. The minding of those jewels. Who's watching the jewels? The minding of those jewels. Who's looking out after the jewels? Well, the good shepherd of the sheep, he numbers the flock, and he knows them every one. I cannot help but believe that the good man of the house is minding the goods of the house. And he's watching his jewels. Well, I tell you what I've discovered. I think that the Lord is not near as ready to get rid of us as the devil would have us to think he is. Come on now. Amen. Reminds me of that little girl. Amen. In Sunday school, they were studying that verse. None of them shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. Amen. And the teacher said, "Now, Sally, aren't you afraid you'll slip through his fingers?" She said, "No, ma'am. I'm sitting on one of his fingers." Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, the good man of the house is a mind that is joyous. He does not leave us in an undefended case. Amen. He does not leave us in an unrecognized case. No, sir. He's a mind that is joyous. I said he's a mind that is joyous. He's a watching out over his own. In the apple of his eye, he's got his eye on us. And he's a watching. He sees a sparrow as it falls. And he sees everyone. And I'm a preaching that the good man of the house is a mind that is joyous. Give him a praise. He does not leave us unattended. He does not leave us unrecognized. No. Maybe you've not got your recognition here. But one of these days, he's going to make up his jewels. And he's going to make up all of his jewels. Favorite stories told of when Teddy Roosevelt went abroad as he returned into New York Harbor. There was a missionary on board that same ship who had been in China for 30 years. He and his wife had labored long and hard and toiled for 3 decades when they sailed into New York Harbor. The balloons were floating. Ticker tape was falling. The band was playing. A president's parade for Mr. Roosevelt. When they finally reached the wharf, the missionary and his wife stood there and waited. No one met them. He said to his wife, "How do you like that? 30 years, nobody to welcome us home." And the Lord smote him and said, "You're not home yet. But in that day, when I make up my jewels." Probably one of the most beloved characters of Mr. Borum's writing is Broadbanks. Amen. If you read Borum very long, you understand that Broadbanks is actually Borum himself. Did I bust you, Bubble? I'm sorry. He writes in the person of Broadbanks. And he said, Broadbanks has nerve problems. And he said, nerves are nasty things. They never play fair. He says oftentimes Broadbanks has to just get away for a while. And Broadbanks sends him a letter. He's in despair. He's discouraged. Seems like his work is failing. And he says, "Well, Borum, sometimes I wish I could just sit down. You and I. Wish we could just sit down and talk." He said, "But after all, we're not here to sit down. There'll be time to sit down when it's all over." Stand with me all over this house and let us rejoice in that day when it's all over. Let's give him a praise. Let's worship. When I make up my jewels.